Welcome to the Creating Wealth Simplified podcast. My name is Lauren Wells, here with my co-host, Chris Seveny. We're committed to providing you with the knowledge required to build wealth through real estate investing. Tired of consuming content about real estate? Stuck in analysis paralysis? Ready to do your first deal? As a member of our community, you will learn how to go from consuming content to taking that first step into the world of real estate investing. Our show is not about getting rich quick, but about providing you with the knowledge you need to take action. Join us as we speak with experienced investors who share action tips on how to escape the corporate world, start a thriving side hustle in the world of real estate, and go beyond your W-2 or 401k.
Today, I'm going to talk about what did I get right and what did I get wrong in 2024. Every year at this time, I do a podcast and a blog post talking about what my expectations and anticipations are for the upcoming year. And now many prognosticators will, throw so much spaghetti out there. It's so convoluted. You could look at it and say, hey, you're always right. You're always wrong. I'm the type of person who, hey, I'm going to be honest. What did I get right? What did I get wrong? And kind of do another episode on, again, what am I predicting for next year? So if I take out the quote magic crystal ball, or, I like to say my proverbial fidget spinner that I can spin that answers my questions, let's take a look back at what I was predicting last year and see, did I hit those or did I not hit those? So let's start. First, item number one, I made the prognostication that we will see an increase in mortgage note inventory in 2024. And I was pretty upfront on this one, that really easy one to predict, because 2023 was extremely low inventory. It did start picking up as the year went on, but it was still, for us, what we thought was historically low. Now, part of this also was based off of our relationships. As we continue to build relationships, continue to bring more loans into the portfolio. But last year, we were talking about seeing about $300 million a quarter last year, and how that started picking up to in quarter three and four, where we started seeing some weeks where we had $300 million. Well, in 2024, we've seen billions of dollars per quarter. And last year, I was talking about the end of the year, we were seeing an uptick in down payment assistance loans and second position loans that were, $5,000, $10,000, $15,000. And, we're seeing those in the tens of thousands. What did we see this year? Saw some of those loans, saw a significant number of what I'll call scratch and dent loans. And these are loans we typically don't buy, but they were originated and instant, basically went into default within the first 6 months. What we did see a significant uptick in is defaulted residential transition loans, which were formerly known as bridge loans or fix and flip loans. A second half of this year, significant uptick in those types of loans. The other area where we've seen a big increase in loans are the reverse mortgage department, which is borrowers who get a reverse mortgage and then they pass away and the property is underwater. And HUD has put out between their two pools over $1 billion, and that's going to continue into 2025, which we'll talk about on a future episode. So my first prognostication of seeing an increase in inventory, that was kind of like picking the low-hanging fruit. And, I will say I was right. And like I said, I'll talk further about on my next episode, what I think 2025 is going to bring. The second was the bid-ask spread will close the gap. And we're not going to see 2018 prices again. But last year, we saw a significant gap between asking price and bid price. And based on that, I mentioned property values could decline, taxes, insurance increase, sellers going to be more willing to sell assets. And I'd expect the reperforming loan market to stay within 9 to 12% return range and NPLs ticking back up into the high teens in that 20% plus range. Because last year on some of these NPLs, there were reperforming rates. And partly that was due to the influx of money the government was printing. Everyone was so cash rich, they needed to invest it. What do we do with this? And as that money has started to slowly work its way out of the system, we've seen an increase in product as well. So you increase supply, what happens? That spread did come much closer. And as the year has gone on, it's continued to work better and better for buyers of loans. I recently just picked up, a non-performing loan in a non-judicial state, at, I want to say, close to a 35% discount, where last year that would have been probably a 15% discount. So it continues to move. Now, some sellers have not gotten with the program and are still asking a significant number for their loans. And I'll share a story of, there was one fund out there that was buying loans from another fund, and they were leveraging it and paying a premium for these, thinking that they could take advantage of the limited supply to turn around and flip these and just sell them without doing a lot of work on them. Unfortunately, the market was not playing ball with them. And unfortunately, they essentially went under. And investors right now are, not hearing anything. And I actually didn't even know this was a fund. I thought it was just a group of investors or two guys running, some investments and so forth. But, now I'm hearing that people invested some serious coin behind these people, and, they just disappeared. And it's really based because of that business model of, I buy high, the buyer's fool's theory, where you can pay a price and hope that there's a sucker who's going to pay more than you. Well, unfortunately, there wasn't a sucker who's going to pay more than what you did. So they got caught with them. And unfortunately, we're not able to liquidate those because, again, that spread kept creeping. Third one, and this one is probably the one that's always going to be contested. I thought real estate prices would decline in most markets, even if interest rates did drop. I was saying this because we see, and I thought if rates drop significantly, we would see an initial quick bump. But when I look at things, small businesses were tightening their belts, bank liquidity is tightening, income is not keeping up with inflation, home prices, something's got to give. And I mentioned, I don't think it's going to crash, but I don't see it having significant gains, especially in these lower price markets. Now, let's take a look at that. And depending on which analysis you use, are home prices up year over year? Or are they not up year over year? And certain markets, home prices are softening. Florida, Texas, Kansas City, we're starting to see those prices soften. And I'm also believing that the data that's out there right now, there's a lot of properties that are sitting on the market for longer period of times that have had price drops, are not willing to drop their price. So I think that number is staying a little bit inflated right now in regards to where pricing is, because one thing to remember about real estate pricing is, think about the time it takes to close on a property. I'm recording this on December, what's today's date? 5th. If somebody puts something under agreement today, that's not getting recorded until probably end of January when that property closes, and that data isn't coming out till probably March, April, when they're looking at that first quarter data. So real estate is usually about 6 months behind. And, again, I'll give my prognosis for next year where I think things are going to go. But this one, I'm not going to say I was right, but I also, I'm not going to say I was completely wrong either. I think investors who were envisioning pricing to continue at that pace are getting burnt. And that's why when I go back to the inventory, the fix and flip loans, for example, we bought some non-performing loans that are properties that are completed for sale on the market, bought them at a very big discount. Borrower thought when they were finished, you get $650,000 for them. Now they're listed in the low fives and can't move them. And to me, that's a 20% drop. Now, are you seeing that across the board? No, but you look at people in Austin, people in Florida, and again, places where insurance has gone nuts, and that is part of the cause. And goes back to what I said earlier. Salaries are not keeping up with inflation. And I want to remind people that even if inflation goes to zero, that just means prices aren't going up anymore. It doesn't mean they're going back to where they were in 2019. Everything's already gone up 25% or whatever the number is. So it's just going to be stuck there. And I saw, a few people recently post online that, hey, I've got a 2.5 or 2.9% raise this year, which is keeping up with, quote, inflation, which I'll be the first to tell you, I think inflation is a lot higher than what the government, throws out there. I am not a conspiracy theorist in any way, shape, or form, but I look at what I pay for stuff, and I think things have gone up since 2019 a lot more than, 25%, but who Who's to say? So that was number three, real estate prices. We hope you're enjoying this episode of Creating Wealth Simplified. We wanted to take a moment and tell you more about our passive income fund at 7E, which is open to both accredited and non-accredited investors. Our latest offering targets an 8% annual return distributed monthly, with the ability to potentially achieve a greater return through our bonus share program. If you'd like more information, reach out to us at invest@70investments.com to learn more. Thank you. Number four, this is the one I will say I got wrong. And I mentioned that we would see significant cracks in the seller finance space. And I thought this would be a slam dunk. And I thought this because I saw a number of people selling on subject to in these low rates or seller financing with very poor underwriting. You know, person can't get a loan from a bank, so they're going to go get 95 or 100% financing from a homeowner. And these homeowners also jacked up the price to $200,000 property. They're selling it for $250,000. This one, and yeah, I will say this now, I still think this is coming. So when you hear my next video, I'm going to talk about this. I think it's taking a little bit longer and I underestimated the time. But if prices continue to stay where they are or soften and unemployment increases, which I thought was going to happen, and again, back to data, you know, it keeps getting changed month over month, but we do have a new administration coming in. They want to cut a significant number of government jobs, which has been the primary driver of jobs for the economy. If unemployment increases and you're in a seller finance property that's underwater and they have no equity, they're going to do what they did in 2012, 2010. They're going to say, screw it and walk away. And you got nothing. Go ahead, foreclose, take the property back. You can't get a deficiency against me. You know, I don't have anything else. And with, I think there's, you know, 500,000 new properties or whatever that case is of new multifamily coming online, I think that's going to also, and there's reports out there that rents might soften a little bit. So if rents come down or stabilize, again, lately it's been cheaper to own a home than it has been to rent in some locations. If that flips and people are underwater, then people, you know, people aren't idiots. They're going to basically be, I can go rent for a lot cheaper than I can buy and I can't afford this. This is what is going to happen. So those were some of the things that we took on, that I was coming up with last year. If I was to grade myself on this, I would probably give myself a B minus in regards to where I thought things would turn out, you know, within the past year. Some of the other things that I mentioned throughout the year was we would continue to see less people involved in the mortgage note space. And I think the gurus or trainers are trying to beef it up saying, oh, there's going to be this wave of foreclosures coming. There's not. And I never predicted that. I've always said there's going to be an uptick in bankruptcy because of all the equity, which we absolutely have seen that significant uptick in bankruptcies. And I'm going to do another podcast episode on the new New York Fed report that came out that talks about delinquencies and everything. And that'll be part of my 2025 prediction. So what has happened in the note space? You know, the gurus who are teaching non-performing loans now have spun it and gone over to, of course, the seller financing space, because the one guru who does like subject two and all this other stuff, you know, has got this audience and people are fascinated with some types of this type of investing in the seller financing side of things. So we're seeing a big influx of people wanting to get into that seller financing space. Not something I personally want to get involved in on the seller financing side. And here's my reason behind it. There's nothing wrong with a very good underwritten seller finance loan. And for example, I talk about this all the time, Fred Rui and Tracy Z. You know, they have very good systems down in regards to that seller financing space. And they're somebody I highly respect and provide great content out there on those types of deals. And as I mentioned earlier, the types of deals where people are just poorly underwriting these and other things, they're making it seem like it's very simple to do. And what I've seen people look to do, and I'll use a caveat that people think real estate's easy because it's been easy the last few years, which it really hasn't been easy. It's been luck, but easy in some way. But when I start seeing people who are going on the MLS, taking a $200,000 home, trying to get under agreement for $175,000, only to turn around and sell or finance it to somebody for $200,000 and $210,000, where that person could not have bought the loan with conventional financing, and they're trying to figure out a way to get financing on that loan, and this person might give it to them or do seller financing or some, they'll call it creative. To me, you know, that is going to end up being a recipe for disaster. You know, it's like giving your kids a book of matches to play with. Eventually, you know, might be fun for a little bit for them, but eventually they're going to get burned. So let's see some other, I mentioned that, you know, seeing decline in competitors. And again, because it's gotten really hard and it's now really up to management of the asset. And again, in real estate, the last few years, you could just buy an asset, do nothing, it would make money. And notes, that hasn't been the case. You need to work it hard, push, and really stay on top of things. Another was, what is going to happen to some of these investors who were investing based on lines of credit? And as I mentioned previously, that one company that was buying high and trying to sell high, they also had were getting a line of credit from that seller. And that line of credit was in the double digits. And it just kapoof. There's another fund I know out there that had a line of credit that jumped up and they were originating commercial loans. And I mentioned this last year. Now they're, you know, they basically had a loan at say 5-6% and they're writing loans at 8.5-9%. So they got a yield spread of 3%. Now all of a sudden their rate went up to 9.5% and they're writing loans at 8.5-9%. Their yield spread's negative. That's not good. So let's see, as I mentioned, another thing I mentioned was raising money. Raising money was going to get harder. And that has been true. It has been a lot more challenging to raise money over the past year. Why? Because the government hasn't printed what they did in the past. But also, you got to remember, real estate is an alternative investment. And a lot of people will look at, okay, maybe 10, 20% of, you know, their money should go into an alt. And I think everyone's heard about, you know, the issues in a lot of the other asset classes in real estate, commercial, multifamily, self-storage, short-term rentals. The interest rates have caused a lot of havoc. And because of that, people had $100,000 in investment that they thought they were going to get out to reinvest. That money is either still tied up or that money actually might be gone. People have less money to invest and they've been burned. So after you've been burned in something, do you want to go turn around and invest in it? Typically not. So it has been much harder. Fortunately for us, we were able to, again, you know, increase the size of our company by about 50% over this past year. So it's been great for us in that standpoint. And we continue to look forward into the next year. And the last one I'll talk about, and I'm thinking now that I mentioned these items that I'm going through my second list, I might give myself a B for my grade, bump it up from a B minus to a B. Because this one, I think I hit the nail on the head, honestly, which was interest rates are not going to go down unless the market crashes. And they haven't. And I think when people heard the Fed was going to drop interest rates, they thought mortgage rates were going to go down significantly as well. But I've preached this in the past that mortgage rates are tied to the 10-year treasury. And when the government is selling a significant number of bonds, you know, big supply, and there's no demand, people are going to want a little more money for those. So they'll sell at a little bit of discount to increase their yield spread. And if you're an investor, let's say, you know, you were given $1 billion of monopoly money and you can buy bonds and you can buy them at a discount that will yield you 4.5%. You know, what is the premium you're willing to pay for a 30-year, you know, mortgage-backed security? In the past, it's typically been around 2% is what that premium has been. So if, you know, mortgage-backed securities at 6.5%, that's kind of where rates are going to fall, you know, because that's what investors are willing to pay for that asset. If treasury yields dropped and treasury went down to 3%, then rates would go down. But again, the only time I can see that happening is when people want to get to a safer haven, which stock market's still on fire and everything else, that people haven't really gone to that safe haven. Now, I still think eventually something has to give. And I've mentioned this in the past, where we've got a whole generation right now who is just getting into the workforce and or has been in work for 5-10 years that cannot afford a home because it's so expensive. The one or two things are going to have to happen. Either they're just going to, you know, hopefully have family that, you know, got a lot of money and can give them, which probably not the case. They're either going to be locked out of being able to buy a home for a significant period of time, or prices come down and we have something that, you know, I don't want to say a crash, but, you know, a softening that allows them back into the game. Something's got to give. I don't know which one. I think it's going to be prices soften, but, you know, who knows? Right now, the way it is, as of today, you've got two generations that struggle to be able to buy a home. Now, I've been in my home, you know, for over a decade, and I'm not going anywhere. I've got a nice low interest rate. I'm sitting on a nice equity cushion at this point in time, and I have no interest in selling. So for me, I don't have skin in this game. So I can, you know, grab my popcorn and watch and provide an opinion that is, you know, unbiased and unfiltered. But if I had to, again, look at the past year, you know, that one, I think I, you know, was right where everyone was predicting interest rates would go back down. That's one I did not, you know, predict would happen, and I was correct. And on our 2025 one, you can go watch what my estimate is there to see what I'm going to predict for next year. So hope you enjoyed this episode of Was I Right or Was I Wrong in 2024? As always, you know, make sure to leave us a like, leave us a review. Any questions, as always, feel free to reach out. Thank you all. Happy New Year.
Thank you for joining Lauren and I on this episode of the Creating Wealth Simplified podcast. Each week, we bring you expert education, experience, and information in a digestible format to help you identify investment opportunities so you can build wealth through real estate and take action toward your financial goals. Enjoy the show, share with a friend, or subscribe to the show and leave us a review.